Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Wisdom Wednesdays as we travel through the book of Proverbs and we look at the instruction of Solomon unto his children and the instruction of God to us as concerning wisdom. What a thrill it is to be able to reach Proverbs chapter number 2 this week as we begin in verse number 1. And we're going to travel through certainly the first 7 verses, but the whole chapter of 2 really spells out one central point. So perhaps we'll be able to make it all the way through in this day. So we'll consider that as we move forward. But first, let us turn to the Lord, asking for His blessing upon our heart and prayers to be able to receive of the glory of His wisdom. Father, we are thankful. We praise You as we have come together this day to be able to worship You, to be able to receive from You the blessing of wisdom. We ask You, Father, to give us the sense of the very purpose of this chapter, Lord, is understanding that Your word is just that important to our lives. Without Your word, Father, we cannot know wisdom. And so the importance of us studying the Bible every day, the importance of us gathering together for this purpose, Lord, it's priceless. So thank You, Lord, for the blessing. And we pray that Thy Holy Spirit would speak through me in this moment and speak to each of the people that tune into this broadcast, that hear the scriptures read, that Thy Spirit would rise up within them and connect the scripture in their heart together so that they may truly receive of the manna this day that comes down from above. We'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scripture begins in Proverbs chapter number 2, and as we read down, he says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Fantastic in the first 5 verses that the 5th verse would end in the understanding of the fear of the Lord and finding the knowledge of God. In Hebrew, again, we understand that when it comes to the number 5, that number is connected to the letter He, which is recognized as the favor of God, or recognized as the grace of God. And so this letter in its original drawing would look like a person with his hands held high like this in the drawing of this letter before it was changed in 586 to the Aramaic block style of lettering. So Hebrew used to be drawn in a pictographic manner where it would be symbols drawn or pictures to reveal meaning. And then when Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon overthrew Israel back at the final straw being broken in 586, we understand that the elders were slaughtered and killed off and along with the infants, but they kept all of the youth of Israel, such as Daniel and Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they kept them to be able to assimilate them into the culture of the Babylonians, which was an Aramaic culture. And of course, it majoritively worked, for we know that in Jesus' day, as he grew up, he would have grown up hearing Aramaic as a language. And the Hebrew people in the Middle Testaments having to fight back to be able to get their Hebrew culture and roots and language back in play throughout the time of the Maccabean Wars in order to reestablish the Hebrew language and the Hebrew customs, because Babylon did its work and did it well in transitioning a people literally almost to an extinction to becoming Babylonian. So we give God thanks for the way in which He kept His promise, as the prophet Ezekiel revealed, that He kept this promise for a remnant to be able to be remaining faithful through Daniel and several of the prophets up to the point of Jesus' birth, because without that promise, you could have had a people gone into extinction. So when we come to this position right here, we see that the very favor of God rests in the understanding of the fear of the Lord and in the finding of the knowledge of God. But where are we going to find the knowledge of God? Well, that is found in verse number 1 when Solomon would say, "Receive my words and treasure my commandments with you." This is where the knowledge of God is going to be discovered. It's found in the Ten Commandments of God. It's found in the Torah, which are the first five books of the law concerning the Old Testament. It's found in the Nevi'im. It's found in the Devarim, the very word of God, the very connection of the prophets. We also understand the Brit Hadashah. It's found in the New Covenant, the New Testament writings to the letters of the churches. In all of this, we find a full picture and sense of our God and of His mercy, of His grace, and of His covenant with His people to save them from the wrath that is to come, because God is, without question, going to pour out His wrath against an ungodly and wicked world. So it's very important for us to receive God's word and to treasure up His commandments in our heart. And thus, when we reach that place where the Word of God becomes important to us, where the teachings of the Scripture become paramount to our understanding of who God is and what He's going to do, then we will have found the knowledge of God. We will have received it from the Lord, and we will understand the fear of the Lord, because we'll have God in His proper place in our lives as being our only. Back when you look at Exodus chapter number 20 and you see the first commandment that is written in Scripture. In fact, let's take a look at this really quick and just read it from Scripture. So that is found in Exodus chapter number 20 and beginning in verse number 1. The Scripture says, "And God spoke all these words." Now, remember that our connection to Proverbs chapter number 2 is, if you will receive my words, my commandments, in fact, He said, and you will treasure them, and you will come, you know, go for my understanding of what I'm saying. So the Scripture says, God spoke all these words. Now, this is very important, because this isn't Moses and his idea of what God had to say. This is literally what God said, and Moses is giving it to us. Said, "I am the Lord your God." And the very connection of the first commandment that we have in our modern sense, we look at it from the Greek standpoint of saying verse number 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." But the actual commandment itself is found in verse number 2. "I am the Lord your God." You see, if we understand, this is that coming to a knowledge, this is that coming to an understanding. If we understand that God is our Adonai, that God is our Elohim, our Lord, then there won't be an issue of having other gods before Him, because we will understand who He is, and that fear that would enter our heart to even dare to think about turning to another god would be always with us. It's kind of like having a proper fear of parental authority when you were a little kid and dad said don't. There was a certain tone to his expression and look upon his face that literally struck a chord of fear inside of your heart that told you, man, we better not go any further. We better not do this. And it's that sense of fear of what could happen to you if you transgressed any further his ruling that is the same kind of fear we need to have with Almighty God. As understanding that there are a lot of things that we did and indeed get away with that our parents never saw us doing, but the fact that there is no place that we can hide from Almighty God. There's no place that we can run. There's no place that we could sneak into that God is not aware of us and our doings at all times. And so it's recognizing that and realizing the position of his authority in our heart that is going to cause us to live a life that is striving to be pleasing to him, as accepting him, as Exodus 20 and verse 2 says, as the Lord over our life, the Lord our God, as he said, I am the Lord your God. And then he puts the emphasis of behind who he is. In verse number 2 of Exodus 20, he says, who brought you out of the land of Egypt? It's saying, I brought you out of the world. I brought you out of those wicked practices and multitudes of gods that were in the land of Egypt. And Egypt is being recognized as a type of the world in our modern day. And God said, I brought you out of that. He said, I brought you out of the house of slavery. So the recognition of the land of Egypt is in connection to a house of slavery. And so it ties together with our lives as God, when we received him and the knowledge of his word unto salvation, is that he delivered us from sin. He delivered us from this present evil world and brought us out of the bondage, brought us out of the slavery of this world to be set free in Christ. And so understanding the liberty, as it would be said in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled in the yoke of bondage again. So it's very important for us to understand that Jesus in his death set us free from death, as he took it upon himself to give us his life. But at that point, we become children of God. There are now expectations of our Father that are over us, and there is a standard of living to exemplify Christ in our life. These commandments, they apply to the children of God. These commandments are not written for the lost to follow, as the lost are a lot like the cattle that I got a chance to work with today. The lost are just going to and fro and essentially are mindless in their passion and desires, and they're being led by every whim of feeling and sensation, but they're not actually thinking about the wickedness or thinking about the devastation that is happening in their life, but to enjoy the pleasure for a moment. And so it's understood that children of God, the commandments are actually written to, because once we receive Christ, especially in our modern day, I know this is written back in Exodus, a period of time, but it applies to our modern lives in this day, because as we become children of God, we now have to learn who God is. As children growing up in a home that really come to learn their parents as they grow in the home with their parents, so also children who come to Christ, and guys, this is one of the necessities of church once more, is because once we begin to grow in Christ, we need to learn of him, and we've got to learn from the Word of God, as realizing that he is the Lord our God who brought us out of slavery. And if we truly understood that, then the concept of having no other gods would not be an issue. And so, as it says, as I went back to Proverbs chapter number 2, he says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, the point being is that you will then understand the fear of the Lord. And from understanding the fear of the Lord, verse 5, you will find the knowledge of God. And in that receiving of his words, what he's meaning about verse number 1 is making your ear attentive to what the Spirit is speaking to you even in this moment, making your ear attentive to the wisdom that is being shared, inclining your heart to understanding. In fact, verse number 3, If you will call out for insight, if you will raise your voice, as we come together in these times of sharing of the scripture at the preacher's corner, before these moments ever exist, it's exactly what I'm doing in prayer. And I would hope that that's exactly what you on the other side of this screen are doing in prayer before you even open these videos or listen to these podcasts, is to pray and say, Lord, open my heart that I may receive of your wisdom. Give to me your word, Father, and bless me with being able to understand a little bit more about you so that I can better serve you. And guys, that is when our ears will be attentive to the wisdom that he would have for us. That is the inclining of our heart to receive an understanding. And the reality is unless we truly seek the Lord in this frame of mind and position in prayer, we're not going to get a lot out of anything. He says, yes, if you call out for insight, and that's the point. If you're seeking for God, remember Jesus, as he was saying on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you ask, it shall be given to you. If you knock, it shall be opened. He said, if you seek, you shall find. And that's very important, because in verse number 4 of Proverbs 2 is where he's gleaning that wisdom of seeking and finding. He said, if you, in verse number 4, seek wisdom like you're looking for silver and search for it like you're searching for a hidden treasure. Well, define a hidden treasure. It could be something that you're looking for in the house. It could be something that you're looking for it at work, and you will tear the desk apart, and you will move the books off the shelf. You will check every ounce of that house to try and find that thing that you're looking for. Oftentimes, that misplaced thing like a cell phone or car keys or something fairly important that's going to be able to help you finish off the rest of your day. And so you'll rifle all over the house, tearing it apart, trying to find what it is you're looking for. And by the way, oddly enough, it's usually right in front of you. That's happened to me 2 or 3 times after unpacking some of the boxes. Of course, we know we packed some things. We knew that it would be in a specific place. And once you move about 1,800 miles, you forget, but it's important to find this one thing. So you're digging through all of these different boxes just to find it. Well, that's exactly the way we're supposed to seek after the wisdom that exists in God's Word. He said, if you seek for wisdom that comes from God's Word, like silver, and search for it as you would search for those hidden treasures, then... I mean, when your heart is that driven to know God, when your desire is that great to study His Word and to hide His Word in your heart so that you can better understand how not to sin against God, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and then you will find the knowledge of God. Awesome. That's just awesome. He says, for the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, a connection to this point, the Lord gives wisdom. Now, we had already spoken of this, but I don't remember who it was, but they had made a comment just the other day when we were in the book of James, how similar James is with the book of Proverbs. And it's in this point, the Lord gives wisdom, that I'm going to look at in James. And chapter number 1, if you recall, he tells us about this point in verse number 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, in verse number 5, he said, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And that is in connection to Proverbs chapter number 2 and verse number 6, when he tells us that the Lord is the one who gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding, and that the Lord stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Now, understanding that that wisdom comes from the Lord. And so, if I'm trying to work through any other measure for wisdom than the Lord, I'm going to discover that I might be full of different bits of knowledge, but I'm not full of wisdom. For wisdom comes from the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that lost people do not receive wisdom from the Lord. Remember that the Word of God says all souls. You'll find it in Ezekiel chapter number 18 and verse number 4. He says, all souls belong to me. The soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sins, it shall die. This doesn't mean that God isn't willing, like we saw in the book of James. God is not willing to give wisdom to all, in the fact that we have lots of doctors in the world today. We have lots of lawyers. We have lots of people in different spheres that keep our societies within the world safe, clean, healthy, and operating in decent enough order to be able to survive. And this is a great deal of wisdom that God is given to all of mankind. The deal is when we do not connect the wisdom that God has blessed us with the connection of his person, so that we can glorify him through our members, through our bodies. And so even though we may be a very wise person, if we are rejecting the Word of God, and we are in rebellion against the Lord God, then we are actually proven to be a fool, no matter how smart or how quote-unquote wise we are, is because wisdom is only of effect when it is connected to the Lord, so that he may be glorified through our bodies, and our mouths, and our hands, and our feet, and our whole lives. This is where we can extend the opportunity of glory, giving glory back to God for the blessing of wisdom that he has given us. And so it's very important for us to really get these things, isn't it, today? It says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding, and he stores up wisdom for the upright. Exciting point is that we discover that the further away from God we get, the less wise we are in the decisions that we're making, because we're drawing ourselves away from God and deeper into sin. And so we understand that the closer we desire to be to God, the more wisdom will be exhibited in our lives, because we will be seeking with a humble heart to honor and glorify our God through everything that we're doing, everywhere that we're going, and every facet of our being in life. We seek to glorify God. And he says, in that frame, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. And he's a shield to those who walk in integrity. Well, the exciting part of that shield is found over in Ephesians. If you recall, we're talking about the armor of God at this point in Ephesians chapter number 6. And as we look down to verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter number 6, we see another shield, and we understand the importance of it. And I'll begin reading in Ephesians chapter 6, working from verse 10 down to the actual accoutrements of the armory. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, verse number 14 of Ephesians 6, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to the end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Did you catch that, guys? The shield of faith. How exciting is it that it's that shield that you use to extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one? What are those flaming darts? Well, let us consider the connection that we have today as concerning the place that we're at. In Proverbs chapter number 2, and he goes down and he tells us that he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. And we understand that the shield is being referred to as that shield of faith. Well, faith is the direct connection to the integrity of a person's life. As we exhibit our faith in God, we're going to walk in His Word. We're going to be obedient to His ways. Our faith is going to cause us to be true to His commandments, and thus we will be a people of integrity. And so that shield is He. Is that shield to those of us who walk in integrity. So what does it do? It defends us against the fiery darts of that old devil. So what are those darts? They're things like doubt, things like worry, things like fear and anxiety. These are all fiery darts that have a means to be able to penetrate the heart and penetrate the soul of a man and just wreak havoc within him, catch him on fire of that old evil one and devour the heart, devour the mind by overcoming the spiritual sense that we can have in Christ. And overwhelm our ability to have peace, love, and sound mind, or good judgment. This is the scripture of 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7 that says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of peace and of love, and that sound mind or good judgment. And so these fiery darts that the devil would constantly be shooting at us would be causing us worry about our walk with God, or causing us doubt about who God is, or the connection we have through Christ Jesus, as if we're saved, or that he would be shooting us full of anxiety about the things that are going to transpire in the days ahead, and the possibilities of what could happen to us in places of persecution and struggle and trial and tribulation, and all of these things begin to mount up and overwhelm our ability to remain true and firm, steadfast in our service to God, and thus he says that it is wisdom that conquers all of those fiery darts, and that it is wisdom that gives us strength to be able to carry that shield with integrity, holding up the banner of our faith, even in the presence of that wicked one, and being able to, above all things, like it said in Ephesians chapter 6, above all things, to be able to stand. Praise God. That is so exciting. And he says that in the shield that he gives to us to walk in integrity, he guards the paths of justice, and he watches over the way of his saints. What a mighty God we serve. He said in verse number 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. By the way, these are the things that our current society in the United States are pining for. These are the things that the world at large in this modern day are looking for. They want justice. They want equity. They want a good path. But the problem is, like with our federal government and many of our state governments or local governments, they're trying to rule from a position of ungodliness. And at that point, they're working through a subjective standard that is built upon their own backs, is what they deem to be righteous, what they deem to be justice, or what they consider to be equity, and what they think is a good path. The problem is that this is a subjective standard, because it's a very small group of people who believe that their God and that their way ought to be the way you should be going. And the problem behind that even is that their way is a way that leads to death, because it is a broad way that leads to destruction, and many are going in that direction. So we find that to actually achieve the righteousness that this world so desires, to actually achieve the justice and equity and good path that it's trying to pave the way for, all it has to do, this world, this society, the United States, all they would have to do is surrender to God. All we would have to do is submit to God's word and establish God's word as the standard of our living once more, as the United States was founded in as a Christian nation, is without question. There are enough evidences of the writings of the founding fathers, the writings of the founders, all the way back to the Plymouth Colony and the travel that would take place to this country in the 1600s. And so we understand that the necessity of the colony was to establish a freedom to be able to worship God, and they came. So it's not that complicated for us to realize the error of our path in trying to establish our own righteousness, our own justice, our own equity, and our own good path, and that in the subjective nature of our decisions that we have brought ourselves to an absolute ruin. But we could repent. We could turn from our wicked ways, just like it says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their transgressions and heal their land. Guys, this is not complicated. Share this with everyone you know, that the answer to equity and justice and righteousness is to surrender our will to the living God, and to submit ourselves to his word, which is the beginning of knowledge. To fear him, the beginning of knowledge. So we come to this position where he says in verse number 10, wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Oh, praise God that when you understand the gift of God, when you receive Jesus Christ and you're born again and your sins are forgiven you, and you begin to build a desire to know God, to feast upon the riches of his holy manna found in the word of God, then this will come to you. Wisdom will come into your heart. He will write upon your heart, as it says in Jeremiah chapter number 33. He said he will write upon the tables of your heart his word, and he will seal them in your heart. So he says wisdom will come into your heart, Proverbs chapter 2 verse 10 here, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech. These men who forsake the paths of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. These men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, Guys, in this section right here, you'll find this description of these people from verse number 11 down to verse number 14. It's really exciting in the connection that you'll find over in the book of Jude. I'm going to head over there just so you can hear this. The book of Jude, which is only one chapter, it's one letter really that's written. But in Jude, he says, beloved, in verse number 3, he said, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. For certain people, keep in mind Proverbs chapter number 2 from verses 11 to 14, he said, for certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. He comes down and he says, about these guys, he says in verse number 7 of Jude, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued a natural desire, serves an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire, yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. These people, again, in verse number 10 of Jude, blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Unreasoning animals. Brute beasts would be the terminology that would be used in the King James Bible. Very powerful reality, because it says these men whose paths are crooked in Proverbs chapter number 2 in verse number 15 rather, these men whose paths are crooked, who are rejoicing in doing evil, who are forsaking the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, these men who are devious in their ways. Oh, guys. This is awesome. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth, forgets the covenant of her God. That's the religious folks that would be referred to, in fact, over there in the book of Jude. And often you would find that Jesus would be calling out the Pharisees and the scribes as being hypocrites, and he would be calling them out as a brood of vipers. So would John the Baptist and even the chief priest and the elders. And so it's very powerful in its connection here. These women who you would find, the adulteress with the smooth words that forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, kind of like what happened at the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter number 2 in verses 1 through 7. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed, to hell, is what King James would tell you. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the path of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land. Those with integrity will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Thank you, Jesus, for the blessing of this wisdom. I only pray that you have received from Proverbs 2 today. Now, I know we've traveled a little bit of the Bible, but I pray that its connection, that the Holy Spirit would make the connection of all of the scripture that has been provided today, that he'd make that connection in your heart and bring that reality out into your life, the necessity of God being your Lord, of God being your master, of a surrendered heart to the knowledge of God's word, so that we could live for him, so that we could love him more, so that we could serve him better and be an example of him in all of our life. Guys, this is Proverbs 2. Praise God. Father, we thank you and praise you and just ask that this wisdom would flood our souls. Lord, just bless us. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in us, with us, and through us in this time that we have received this. Father, to play it over and over, 2, 3, 4, whatever it takes times, to grasp the sense of all that you have given us. And it will be well with our soul, in Jesus' name. Amen. Raise up that shield, Christians. Raise up that shield with integrity so that your heart can be defended by this beautiful wisdom today. And may God keep you and bless you and cause his face to shine upon you. And I shall see you tomorrow to carry on in James chapter number 4, digging in to a very precious place, dealing with your life as a vapor, something to think about. So God bless, and we'll see you at the corner tomorrow. Take care.